The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the time-shifted heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. It's March the 11th, 311. That's 33. Do you know what today is?
Besides March 11th?
Besides March 11th of 2012, it is 1 year to the day that the earthquake in Japan caused a great tsunami that ended up with the Fukushima nuclear plant melting down.
Saw a headline, which I've not read, but read the story that follows it, but apparently radiation levels have been tested in Los Angeles and apparently have reached a higher level than at any point since the Fukushima
leaks. Well, that's true. And in fact, it's not only, you know, in the waters surrounding that area, but also in food, in water, in milk products. And interesting, in the last year, both Europe and the United States have raised the acceptable levels of radiation in food products.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Of course, if it's safer,
the good news.
More heavily irradiated, it's less likely to be E. coli.
Yeah, that pink slime.
Yeah.
The good news is, though, that we glow at night and we no longer need those lights. Yeah. So those little, you know, squirrely little swirly lights, don't need them.
We have a natural glow. Yeah. Heck no, we won't glow. and we'll talk. Speaking of swirly lights, we'll touch on that strange video of the Phoenix traffic reporter who caught something in the background that looked like an explosion.
Oh, yeah, that was a weird thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's been 2 weeks since we've had a show, and we apologize that we missed last week. You know what? You've been out of town.
Been busy. It's been a busy was out of town for a week on business. Yeah, in fact, so busy I'm like 2 months behind now on updating my 4 month erasable calendar up there. I've still got January, February.
I thought
there.
That was an erasable calendar.
It is when it gets really overloaded. the last week of February in San Antonio for national sales meeting. It was only a coincidence that the Chicago Bulls happened to be in San Antonio for a game.
Yeah, I loved it. I'm sitting there, you know, all by myself here in town, and I look down and there's a text from Derek. Hey, the Bulls are in my hotel.
Yeah, it was. We discovered it when we noticed the crowd of young boys and teenage boys with autograph pads out there waiting for members of the team to show up. So imagine our disappointment.
Did you get one?
No. The closest I got was some equipment manager who looked like Mike Ditka's younger brother carrying a couple of big bags and tried to make a joke with a guy saying, you know, here we are for the steel convention. And we thought that the autograph seekers were there for all the top salesmen. And he just was kind of like, huh?
Well,
not humor, not funny.
He was irascible.
He was. So, and then got home and immediately turned right back around to go to Champaign for a weekend with my barbershop quartet. We got some intense coaching. Yeah.
First base coaching or batter. Okay.
Make sure you touch that cord on the inside of the note with your left foot because you'll get to the second chord quicker. Yeah. It was a conflating baseball and barbershop there. So, yeah, it's been a while.
It's the same thing.
There was a two-week period there where I felt like I only slept at home for about 4 nights. It wasn't quite like that, but we were just going. And then
how Sam and I felt, too. We missed you.
Well, I miss being at home. I'm glad that even though I drive a lot, I can get back home every night because I'd rather be here.
We like that, too.
So our Lenten benefit concert was really a blessing. The chorus, the barbershop chorus I sing with every year for the last 17 years has done this at during the Easter season, Lenten season, we put on a free concert, take a free will offering, and donate the money to local food pantries and homeless shelters. And this year, even in what is a dicey economy at best, we raised more money this year than we had any mm-hmm. previous year. So just truly a blessing. People giving and giving freely to support the communities. And that's what charity is supposed to be about, not the government coming and taking it at gunpoint. Or, well, by extension, gunpoint. I mean, if you don't pay your taxes, they will come after you with weapons if necessary.
They come at decimal point.
Yeah. And that can be just as dangerous. Well, sadly, some big news making the rounds today as we record this on March the 11th.
2012.
Yeah. The news out of Afghanistan that...
That's something we woke up to this morning, and I got to tell you,
the story's been changing throughout the day.
It has been. Well, you tell the story as it progressed.
As we know it now, and the president has responded to it now and issued an official statement calling this event tragic and shocking. The reports out of Afghanistan indicate that at least one and perhaps several U.S. soldiers went on a rampage overnight and killed at least 16 civilians in a small village in Afghanistan near Kandahar. And witnesses now reporting to talking to reporters on the scene said that they thought it was a unit or several soldiers.
And they seemed to be drunk.
Yes, drunk.
And they were laughing.
And laughing.
Now, this was not in the initial report. The initial report said it was one soldier,
mm-hmm.
a sergeant.
Yeah, staff sergeant who is reportedly to be
forces.
Yeah, special forces unit training Afghan police. This is certainly going to make the situation in Afghanistan worse. Tensions flared there, and a number of U.S. and NATO troops were killed by Afghan civilians and soldiers, including in one incident, a couple of U.S. soldiers who were inside the Interior Ministry building in Afghanistan following the burning of some Qurans at an airbase there. Qurans, which had been scheduled for destruction or slated for destruction anyway because they had been damaged or some such thing. But anyway, the report that those Qurans had been burned led to violent response. And certainly the killing in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., is when what the report said regarding this.
Well, these family members were sleeping, and the early reports said it was mostly women and children.
Yes.
Now, I think the later reports indicated that maybe only half of them were women and children, but it doesn't matter. There's one gentleman who was interviewed, and he said his entire family is gone.
Yeah.
He had left. Mm-hmm. The night before, and now he's hearing that his whole family is gone,
yeah.
his kids and his grandkids.
9 children among the 16 who were killed, and again, this was when a U.S. soldier based locally went on a rampage. The story now appears, the official story appears to be that it was just one soldier, and a staff sergeant has been taken into custody, but
It's changed back to one soldier
It's
now?
Changed back to one soldier. The most recent stories I'm seeing from Time Magazine, BBC... doing a quick search here just to get the latest stories. But again, there were reports coming out. Reuters earlier today was reporting that it was several U.S. soldiers killed by a rogue staff
sergeant. Could you turn up my ears? I can hardly hear.
Is that a little bit better?
That's much better,
okay.
Thank you.
The story seems to be consistent that 16 villagers and 9 of them children were killed in a massacre in the early morning hours of what is Sunday in Afghanistan, would have been Saturday night here in the United States. Hamid Karzai has demanded an explanation. President Obama has expressed his regret and sadness and promises to hold fully accountable anyone responsible. But this incident, and what's really tragic is that when you read the story, and this is in the Reuters report, the incident was one of the worst of its kind since the U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan in 2001. The fact that there should be others that were similar to this over the last 10 years is, deplorable.
Regardless, this is deplorable.
Now, we're certainly not intending this to be an attack on the U.S. military.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hold the entire military responsible for the actions of what appears to be one soldier.
Well, my question when I posted it to the PID Newswall at Facebook was what sort of spiritual activity is taking place in that region that may be leading to our soldiers doing things like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what sort of, influences are they under?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it may be more than just spiritual per se. It may also be, chemical.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that they're just the pressure that they're under there. It's really hard to say what young men and women are going through. But the sad thing is that the civilians in the area are going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And worse.
Yeah. I think certainly the events over the next few days are going to be very could be very dangerous.
Fluid.
They're fluid. Certainly tensions are going to be high as word of this reaches out to villagers, because throughout the country in Afghanistan, they don't have access to the news the way we do here in the U.S. and in the Western world, with access to the internet where we can get information almost in real time. But over the next few days, as the word of this massacre spreads, certainly our soldiers will be in even more in harm's way. Because in the wake of the Quran burning, soldiers were being fired upon by troops that are supposed to be our friends over there.
Yeah, this is an area that's supposed to be essentially just peacekeeping. Peacekeeping.
Yeah. If this incident doesn't signal to the elites who started this conflict or who chose to extend this conflict beyond the initial mission of delivering some payback to the Taliban, that we need to get out of there, then nothing will. I don't think there's anything more that can possibly be gained by our continued presence in Afghanistan. And the Reuters article, in fact, cites a security expert named Joshua Frost with something called the American Security Project, is saying that these killings only serve to reinforce the mindset that the whole war is broken and that there's little we can do about it beyond trying to cut our losses and leave. And I would have to agree with that. And hopefully this will convince others as well. Sadly, this news is so shocking that it may snap the American public back to reality. We've really been distracted by some silly things over the past week. Most notably, the whole flap over Rush Limbaugh's comments in response to the congressional testimony of what was the woman's name? Sandra Fluke, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who essentially wants the government to pay for her contraception. Or everyone's contraception. I mean, she doesn't exactly say that. She just thinks that everybody should have insurance, and that insurance for everybody should include contraception, which thus means everybody pays for everyone else's contraception. And because Rush Limbaugh made the statements that he did, being deliberately inflammatory, which is what you do when you're an entertainer and you need to keep stirring up interest in your show for the benefit of your advertisers. I mean, Rush Limbaugh is a product.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He is a product. And his purpose is to draw listeners to the people who advertise on his show. And even the advertisers were so embarrassed that a number of them pulled their
yeah,
their,
there was some dead
their
air
money. But this woman, Sandra Fluke, is portrayed as a law student at Georgetown. She's 30 years old. Somehow she's making the rounds of all of these news outlets in the wake of Rush Limbaugh's comments. And she's doing it with a flair and with a schedule that's being coordinated with a professional.
Has she dropped out of school?
Well, I don't know, but it seems to me
law school is tough. You have to be in those classes.
Well, let me just say this, and being as delicate as I can, there's no way she's getting a passing grade in law school if she's having as much sex as she's supposed to be having.
Well,
for the amount of contraception
that she claims she uses.
What
we figured out is that it was an average of 5 per day.
Yeah. And I'm sorry that you just...
Well, let's just not even go there. Let me just say this.
Yeah.
There are a lot of... What are you looking at?
There's something floating in my glass here.
Go take care of that. Don't be drinking that.
No.
There are those who say they don't want to support the folks who make bad health decisions. We don't want our dollars mm-hmm. paying for the irrational and dangerous food choices that some people are making that will take them to an early grave and cause me to have to, pay my tax dollars mm-hmm. to support that person in, a all sorts of surgeries and diabetes treatments and this and that. Well, I personally don't want my tax dollars to go to paying for that many condoms per day for someone who, if you're using that many condoms per day, dear lady, you may not be doing the deed with the same person.
Right, which means you're at high risk of contracting a sexually transmitted disease.
Exactly.
And then insisting that we, the rest of the taxpaying public, pay for it.
You are living a reckless lifestyle. Yes, yeah. It's your choice. Mm-hmm. But why should I have to, you know, underwrite your choice? Well, the same person might say to me, I don't want to underwrite your choice to eat ice cream all the time. That's my reckless behavior. Well, it's my choice to do that. And I can see both sides. But to come out and say that she has some sort of divine, well, sorry, I'm going in the wrong direction. Never mind me.
Yeah. Well, I think there was one of those mock, what are those posters that
I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this woman is what I'm saying.
Well, good point. Because we're allowing it to become the distraction
exactly.
that we're
there
describing.
There are bigger stories out there,
and
so let's just leave this woman behind.
Yeah, that this tragedy in Afghanistan, this horror in Afghanistan, may finally wake the American public up and say, you know what, both political parties, instead of deciding whether or not we should be sending our young men and women to kill people with brown skin who live in desert lands.
Because they have oil.
Because they have oil. Or if in Afghanistan, opium poppies.
Yeah.
Because really there is nothing else there except minerals.
Yeah.
Rather than debating whether or not we should be using the military to secure mineral rights for American multinational corporations, we're arguing about whether or not Sandra Fluke is sexually promiscuous.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, that's enough. Done with a fluke.
Right.
Because that is a distraction, and there are many, many other things taking place that this is meant
to distract us from.
To distract us from.
Exactly. So maybe we'll get back to debating what's
really... One of those things that I want to talk about is Leon Panetta's statement to Congress that this administration...
Yeah.
Does not have to go to Congress for permission to go to war. They need only go to NATO and the UN.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because that was next on my checklist
here.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah. And you're right. That is a big deal.
That's huge. That is huge. In the wake of what we are seeing overseas, as far as the theaters of war that we're involved in right now that were never approved by Congress as far as going to war, the only thing that Congress has gotten to do is pay the bill. It's sort of like a father and mother having to foot the bill for someone who goes out and does promiscuous. Oh, sorry. We're back to the Sandra Fluke story.
Exactly. And arguing over who pays for whose insurance and what gets covered. Panetta basically said that international permission is all that's needed. So if President Obama wants to go into Syria, which appears to be on the table. In fact, John McCain was actively arguing.
He wanted us to start shelling. He wanted flights and airstrikes to begin taking place in Syria.
Right. That all we would need, rather than congressional approval, is just a consensus
permission.
Right. That we can claim somehow that we've got international permission, or to use Bush-era terminology, a coalition of the willing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there is a bill in Congress right now that takes up that very topic, and it's Walter B. Jones, Jr., who's a Republican from North Carolina, has introduced a resolution declaring that should the president use offensive military force without authorization of an act of Congress, it is an impeachable high crime and misdemeanor, and he wants the president in office that does that impeached.
Hmm. Yeah, that's something we just posted at the PID News page at the newly redesigned PID News page at Facebook. Yeah, it was going to be redesigned by Facebook at the end of the month anyway, so we just jumped ahead. By the way, it's the website address now. It is facebook.com/PID News for the news page. And
slash PID radio for the PID radio page.
Right. But Congressman Jones of North Carolina is finally taking steps to hold not just President Obama, but any president to the Constitution in stating that only Congress has the authority to declare war.
That's crazy talk.
Well, I know he must be one of those foil hat wearing Ron Paul supporters. As you know, the United States was engaged in military action in Libya for about 6 months without any kind of authorization from Congress. And while Congress technically sort of voted to support the president in whatever actions he deemed necessary, and I'm speaking of President Bush now, in pursuing the war on terror, Congress actually never actually declared war. In fact, Congress hasn't declared war since World War II, if I'm not mistaken. The last official congressional declaration of war was
after
the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
I think that's true. I think there were military actions and...
Korea was called a police action. It was not a war.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was Egypt called? It was it had an interesting way that Obama...
Oh, Libya was... No, Libya was called Kinetic Hostilities.
Kinetic Action.
Yeah, Kinetic Action. Now, if you go to Wikipedia and search for military engagements authorized by Congress, it does say Gulf War, the Vietnam War, Lebanon crisis of 1958.
Well, if they're including funding as being authorization, I think that's all Congress has gotten to do in the last 50 years is approve the money.
Yeah.
Which you know, is assumed to be, well, you gave us the money.
Mm-hmm.
You must be in favor of it.
Yeah, exactly. Because Congress does have the power of the purse strings. I mean, the president could send troops and Congress could, if it really wanted to.
Well, let's see. If I bail you out of jail, does that mean I approved of what you did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not necessarily, but a good lawyer could make a pretty strong case. It is interesting, though, that page right below the military engagements authorized by Congress has other undeclared wars and notes that on 125 occasions, the president has acted without prior express military authorization from Congress, usually against Native Americans. Seriously.
Well, we laugh.
We fought the Apaches for over 40 years, never declared war on them. So.
This comes at a time when a Lieutenant General Herbert Carlisle of the U.S. Air Force has come on the record and said that we now have what's called the MOP. The MOP, the Massive Ordnance Penetrator. It's 30,000-pound bunker buster bomb.
Huh.
And that it is specifically for a military strike against Iran.
Yeah, intended for destroying their deeply embedded concrete bunkers.
Now, lest you think in your mind, okay, there's this gigantic bomb that's going to start everything off. The U.S. has ordered 20 of them.
Hmm.
20 of them from Boeing. 20 of them.
According to this report, this bomb would smash through a 200-foot concrete bunker. Hmm. DROPMOPP, drop mop. the war of words is escalating. The Iranians have come back and said, well, we've got smart concrete, which would deter and defeat any type of bomb dropped on it. So the Iranians are saying, you know, it's like, you know, kids in a schoolyard going back and forth and waiting for the first one to throw a punch.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, when things like this happen, as we see, we've seen all throughout history, that the ones who suffer are the ones who actually live in the places that are going to be too close to ground zero.
Well, for those of you, I just want to read us. This isn't the article that I was thinking of. For those of you who think that it is just the Bush administration that got us into this, the Clinton administration was planning the same thing.
Hmm.
They had plans drawn up to go into Iraq and Iran because of the oil there.
And this was
during the Clinton administration.
The Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, of course, they were the ones who were actively pursuing negotiations with the Taliban for that pipeline in Afghanistan on behalf of UNICAL.
Yes. Oh, we'd forgotten all about UNICAL.
Right, right. And Bridas from Brazil came out winning the
Argentina? I think it was Bridas.
Well, Bridas, but I'm just trying to remember. Is that Argentina or is that Brazil?
Can't remember.
Bridas. Argentina. So, of course, this little action that the Brits have been threatening in the Falklands has nothing to do with oil. Bridas wound up winning the bidding, and next thing you know, 9/11, and we're in Afghanistan.
Well, let me tell you, this is an article that goes, let's see, what's the date of this? 2010, I think. August 1st of 2010 by Michael Chodosky. at globalresearch.ca. He is saying that, or she is, I don't know if Mrs. Michael or Michelle. M-I-C-H-E-L.
Maybe Michelle if it's a French pronunciation, but it's a male.
I was going to say it looks like it's a Russian name, so yeah. Michael.
Could be,
Saying here that there's a code-named military plan called Tyrant. T-I-R-A-N-N-T. Stands for Theater Iran Near Term. Mm-hmm. T, the word Iran, N-T, Tyrant.
Hmm.
And the simulations of this attack on Iran began as early as May of 2003. And he even says that back in... Well, find a little bit here where he was talking about the Clinton administration planning for, where is it? Oh, sorry, I'll have to look for it. But I read it in this article. When we'll link to this, it's globalresearch.ca is a wonderful, wonderful resource. And I think that they're trying to look there, the various people who write the articles there are trying not only to look at the realities within our own military, but to look at the realities within the rest of the world. Just your search for the word Clinton. That'll get it. Aha, that found it. The decision to target Iran under Tyrant was part of the broader process of military planning and sequencing of military operations. Already under the Clinton administration, U.S. CENTCOM had formulated, quote, in-war theater plans, unquote, to invade first Iraq and then Iran. Quote, the broad national security interests and objectives expressed in the president's national security strategy, the NSS, and the chairman's national military strategy, the NMS, form the foundation of the United States CENTCOM's theater strategy. The NSS directs implementation of a strategy of dual containment of the rogue states of Iraq and Iran as long as those states pose a threat to the U.S. interests, to other states in the region, and to their own citizens.
Oh, and this whole responsibility to protect doctrine, which is what Barack Obama has been talking
about.
Exactly. Is how they're justifying going in without the U.S. Congress. Oh, no. International community says we have a responsibility to protect the helpless in places like Libya and Syria and Somalia, where, by the way, the special forces of the U.K. are supposedly operating.
Exactly.
Now.
But it's even better. It says... the purpose of U.S. engagement as espoused in the NSS is to protect the United States' vital interest in the region, uninterrupted, secure U.S./allied access to Gulf oil. Mm-hmm. This is during the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm. Since then, of course, we've had the big find in western North Dakota, the Bakken oil shale fields, which... we've read before, there was a report by a geologist who said that it may contain three times the reserves of Saudi Arabia's proven reserves. Certainly the North Dakotans are enjoying some benefits of it. Unemployment in North Dakota is lower than anywhere else in the United States.
Do they extract that with that fracking process?
Don't know.
That's actually the name of the process. If you've not heard that, that
it's not a reference to Battlestar Galactica term. Yes, yeah, fraction. Was it?
I think they actually use water, and then don't they insert the water at high pressure to fracture the area? And that's what fracking stands for.
Yeah. And apparently,
it uses a lot of water, and it also may be responsible for earthquakes. We don't know for sure, but there's that theory.
Yeah, headline from Bloomberg.com from January of this year, North Dakota drillers need more fracking crews. Thanks to fracking, North Dakota is the Midwest's own little Saudi Arabia. Yeah, fracking could be halted in North Dakota. So that is something that they're having to determine. What is the environmental impact? What is the geological impact of pumping all that water underground? Essentially acting as a lubricant for sediments and different layers of the crust that want to shift and move. So, there's a lot there. And the fact that things are continuing, that our geopolitical long games continue in the Middle East – and with this TAPI pipeline, which is the one that Unocal was bidding for back in Afghanistan in the 90s, which From the scanning I'm doing here the last few minutes, apparently he's drawing closer to becoming a reality. But is it about securing our own energy future, or are we just playing political games to isolate countries mm-hmm. we don't like Iran, the Tappy
exactly.
pipeline?
Exactly. Tappy goes through Pakistan and Iran. Is that correct?
No, it goes through Pakistan and on to India.
Oh, the I is India. Okay.
Right. And it's being referred to as the 21st century Silk Road. And the reason for running it that way instead of through Iran, which would get it to the Persian Gulf and be much shorter, is because, according to Iranian experts, they just want to cut us. They want to isolate us and then kill us. And there may be some truth to that.
Wasn't it originally going to go through Iran, though, and they had to redirect it to India because of what was going on in Iran? We'll do some research on that.
I need to do more research on that. But in any case, it is probably responsible for more than what we're aware of. And all we have, of course, are suspicions, because the only information we have access to is what's, you know, called open source intel, stuff that's mm-hmm. publicly available on the internet. And
of course, not one of those things, not one pixel is a lie.
Yes. And they tell nothing but truth. So all we can try to do is read between the lines. And, you know, certainly our analysis is not perfect, but it just seems that when the stated goals are being missed by such a wide margin, for example, bringing peace to the Middle East, okay, then perhaps the goal was not what they told us it was to begin with. I mean, we're 10 years in on Iran, 8 years in on Iraq, and I don't think we're any closer to really having a stable, peaceful Middle East than we were when we first deployed our troops. We see what's going on in Afghanistan with the unrest there. And now there are reports coming out of Iraq that young people there who commit the heinous crime of dressing like kids here in the U.S.
Evo.
And in the U.K. Yeah.
Long hair.
Emo.
Emo.
Yeah. Emotional.
Sorry, I said Evo as an evolutionary.
Well,
same thing.
That don't go with those. That don't go in under Sharia either. They're being stoned to death in Iraq.
Yes. Yes, it is not funny. What was the number? 30 or – no, it was more than that.
Let me see if I can find the picture of the young man here with the emo haircut and wearing tight jeans. How dare they?
Yeah, and wear skulls.
There are – was the Interior Ministry, which is sort of like the guiding – there we go. 90 students in Iraq have been stoned to death in recent months for having strange hair and tight clothes. The number of deaths could be even higher. These are just the 90 that apparently can be confirmed by some way. 14 have been killed in Baghdad in the past 3 weeks. And this is apparently a campaign being waged by militant Shia. This is where the stonings have taken place. And they apparently, according to an article from the Daily Mail in the UK, dated March 10th, which is Saturday, the lists were being passed around in Baghdad neighborhoods, Shia neighborhoods in Baghdad, naming more youths to be targeted if they don't change the way they dress. Mm. The Interior Ministry issued a statement last month drawing attention to this you know, trend in Iraqi culture, dressing like Westerners, wearing funky Western haircuts, and basically saying that this is Satanism. And ordering community police to stamp it out. And members in the communities in Baghdad and elsewhere in Iraq have apparently taken it on themselves to execute this judgment with extreme prejudice. Meanwhile, we note that the population of Christians in Iraq has dropped over the last 10 years. Prior to our invasion there were an estimated 850,000 Christians in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And there were supposedly more than a million before the first Gulf War. The number of Christians is now estimated 8 years after we invaded Iraq to bring democracy to the Iraqi people. The number of Christians has dropped from about 850,000 to about 365,000, with fewer and fewer every month because they are fleeing in fear of their lives.
Yeah.
We've talked about this for years. We saw this coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're truly going to give self-determination to a group that is predominantly Shia, predominantly very conservative, you're going to have Sharia law as part of the Constitution, which, by the way, it is in Iraq now. So why should we be surprised when stories like this start to come out? That Christians, I mean, Saddam was a bad man. There's no question about that. But he kept a lid on this sectarian and religious violence, and the Christians, for the most part, were left alone. I guess under Saddam, if anyone was going to do the killing, it was going to be him and his boys. But now that you don't have that sort of strong man keeping a lid on things, this is the result. And because it's a predominantly Shia population, Iran being right next door and being predominantly Shia, as we've said before, we essentially have created what could be Iran's new best friend.
That's true. I'm sorry if I looked like I was slightly involved doing something else. I was trying to find a story on the PID News wall at Facebook, and the new design is awful.
Yeah, it's the timeline thing.
It's the timeline thing.
They were going to force us to it at the end of the month.
I know, and that's why we had to do it. But
I don't like the new. I don't like the new.
No,
layout
it's
either.
Really, really hard to find things on here now.
Yeah.
So we may have to go back to doing things at our own site.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. But there's another story. Left turn a little bit. Let's see if I can find the story here. Yes. Did you know that recently the Ministry of Defense in the UK moved 6,000 of its tanks and military vehicles out of the country?
Which country?
Out of the
England?
UK.
Out of England? Okay.
Out of England.
Yeah.
To Germany. Because they don't have any room to store them. I know.
Okay.
It's a great story, isn't it?
We've got some 6,000.
And the day that
we've got some mall parking lots here in the U.S. where you could store 6,000 tanks. Come on, they don't take up that much space.
They don't. I love this story. Let's see. It's dated February 17th of this year. For the first time since the Second World War, the Ministry of Defense is considering sending a vast fleet of fighting machines towards the Rhine. However, rather than a strategic maneuver, the move has been prompted by budget cuts, which have led to plans to sell off the MOD's complex at Ashkirk, Gloucester, where the vehicles are stored and maintained. Well, I think that Westphalia is going to be happy to have those. When the German government decides that it really is the owner of Europe because it's bought everybody out.
Yeah,
the Third Reich is here now.
Well, yeah, they've achieved through economics.
But the Fourth Reich.
What they could not achieve through military means. So we watched a movie based on Tom Clancy's novel, The Sum of All Fears, over... Well, I guess it was a few days ago.
Someone had, I can't remember where I saw it. Somebody said, you really need to see The Sum of All Fears because the game plan is in that.
Yeah, and it was essentially the Underground Reich trying to prompt a nuclear war between the U.S. and Russia and nearly succeeding.
But the funny thing is that the book dealt with Arabs trying to take over.
As I recall, I'm going to look that up here real quick.
At least that's what you seem to.
Yeah.
But to have the Germans be the ones taking over, and who knows what Putin's up to. He and Angela Merkel have always been really close.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's king of the world again.
Yep.
King of all the Russias.
Yeah, his victory was it was complete. And, of course, there were complaints from observers who said that, vote fraud.
You noticed that all disappeared, though.
Very, very quickly, yeah. In the original novel, yes, I do remember this correctly. Okay, it was a group of Arab terrorists that tried to blow up the Super Bowl. In the movie, it was the Underground Reich. But the irony there, of course, is that they're essentially one and the same because mm-hmm. the Palestinian terrorists, the radical Wahhabist sect, were essentially just took and extended the policies, the beliefs of the Reich, the SS in particular, into an Arabic milieu.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah. Well done. I'm like you. I'm not a big fan of Ben Affleck, but it was
anybody but Ben would have been good.
Yeah. And it was interesting, too, that they didn't identify the football game in the movie as the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's true, because it wasn't.
It wasn't. But the president of the United States had to be at that in the movie the way that because they
yeah,
wanted
exactly.
to make it look like the president was.
Why
the
was
target.
He there? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know. Man. Anyway. Speaking of Iraq, by the way, there was something that another story that you posted at the PID news page there.
Oh, I'd love to find it if I could.
Yeah, that the United States Department of State is handing over one of our big military bases, Camp Liberty, or the former Camp Liberty, being given to the group called MEK. That's the acronym, Mujahideen El-Khalq Organization, which is listed by the State Department as a foreign terror organization. But for some reason, we are giving them, and I'm looking at the link here, as of January 27th, MEK is, on the list, number 29.
With a bullet.
Well, they're alphabetized, so didn't want anyone to feel bad about being left off the list. But for some odd reason, this group, which, let's see, the MEK, listed as a terror organization because it's been carrying out terror attacks, assassinations, and espionage against the Iranian government. That explains it. It's a base inside Iraq from which the MEK can launch incursions into Iran.
Yes.
Even though the State Department has listed the group as a terror organization, they've got a number of high-powered American folk who lobby on their behalf, including Rudy Giuliani, who's pictured in this article. Yes, Mrs. Gilbert?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is the MEK the organization that the CIA was supposedly training their Mossad agents or something for? Remember that story a few weeks ago?
Could be CIA, MEK,
M-O-U-S-E.
Yes, CIA activities in Iran. CIA supports anti-Iranian organizations such as the MEK, or otherwise known as the People's Mujahideen of Iran. Iran has demanded the U.S. stop supporting the MEK in exchange for stopping its support of the Shia in Iraq. Games within games within games. Other American lobbyists on behalf of the MEK, by the way, include Howard Dean, Tom Ridge, Ed Rendell, former FBI Director Louis Free, retired General Wesley Clark.
Howard Dean?
Lee Hamilton, former U.S. Marine Corps Commander, Commandant General James Jones, and prominent shrill attorney Alan Dershowitz. So all of them lobbying on behalf of the MEK, and they're getting Camp Liberty. Now, and this is, you know, being publicly reported, and it's widely known that these American folks, or at least it's not a secret that these American politicians and elites are supporting the MEK, even though they've been officially designated a terror organization by our own State Department. I think if something similar were happening and it became known that Iran was supporting terror activities, say, at a base in southern Manitoba, we'd be just a little bit cheesed.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that the Iranians are in the right here. I mean, clearly we know that there are groups within Iran that would love to see the great Satan destroyed, but
everybody has an angle to play.
Everybody's an angle to play. And this reads, and the stuff in Afghanistan reads from a distance, like from a distance, it reads like that Star Trek episode that we've referred to many times
Kang
before.
And Kodos. No, sorry, just Kang.
Yeah, just Kang. Where an entity comes on board the Enterprise when they've taken some Klingons prisoner and basically frees them, gives them all weapons, and then forces them to fight because it feeds on the
We should see if we can find a YouTube clip of that that scene and insert it here.
Look, Kang, for the rest of our lives, a thousand lifetimes, senseless violence, fighting, while an alien has total control over us. All right. In the heart, in the head, I won't stay dead. Next time I'll do the same to you. I'll kill you. And it goes on and on. The good old game of war, pawn against pawn. Stopping the bad guys. While somewhere, some thing sits back and laughs. And starts it all over again.
And that's why we bring this up, because it's not just the political aspect we're looking at, but there's a spiritual component to it. Just as we think most everything that's in the news has some sort of spirit pushing it. And clearly there is some sort of spiritual importance attached to that part of the world, Israel, Jerusalem in particular. But
Prince of Persia.
For some reason, Persia, Iraq, which if you've not go back and read the book of Genesis and the section there around chapters 10 and 11, where it talks about Nimrod and his kingdom was centered at Erech, which phonetically is
Iraq.
Yeah. So when Iraq was recreated from the dust, well, basically from a blank map after World War I, they somehow decided to give it the name of Nimrod's Kingdom. Just coincidence, I'm sure.
No, it is. I'm sure it is. Well, other things going on in the world. Let's see. Oh, you know what? I saw this really interesting video of the sun taken today.
Mm-hmm. It's been shooting at us.
It's been shooting at us, but it has this little... Now, I'm drawing in the air, so you don't have the benefit of this because this is, of course, audio only, but I'm showing Derek. There's a little like black filament that almost looks like a huge tornado coming out of the side, and it's connecting to a dark, perfect circle.
Really?
So is something refueling or, you know,
docking,
copulating
with the
sun?
Maybe it's budding.
Ah! Don't feed it after midnight, see?
Exactly. And don't let it get wet.
Exactly. No, it just, it looks really, really, really interesting and sort of creepy, actually.
Yeah. And speaking of creepy and unusual things that we mentioned at the beginning of the show, the video from the traffic reporter in Arizona.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And of course, we're about 15 years on from the famous Phoenix Lights incident, which has never been officially adequately explained.
It was almost to the day that this occurred.
Mm-hmm. The traffic reporter for, was it Fox 10 in Phoenix, was showing a video clip of a highway, an interstate highway, behind her. And just over the reporter's left shoulder, suddenly something pops up. It almost looked like the video from... well, Baghdad during the first Gulf War, except it didn't have the green night vision, night goggle tint to it. But it looked like an explosion in the background. And the television channel has continued to report on it and said, you know, it looked like a transformer might have blown, but we've talked with the local power authorities, two different power companies that serve the Phoenix area. Neither one reported any kind of outage. There was no audio with that video because this was just a traffic monitoring camera. So, you don't know. Did anybody hear any sound? They're still trying to figure out what it was.
I don't know.
Bizarre. We'll put a link to the video if you've not seen it, because it does raise questions that have yet been answered. This was posted on Friday, so it took place, what was it, Thursday? Thursday night on the television broadcast there in Phoenix. So kind of a weird, weird situation.
Yeah, you know, speaking of, phenomena. Phenomena. NASA announced a few days ago that on a clear night between March 14th and April 4th, NASA plans to launch 5 rockets in 5 minutes from its Wallops Island, W-A-L-L-O-P-S, Wallops Island facility in coastal Virginia. Each rocket will release a chemical, leaving a long milky white cloud to track the winds that scientists will monitor from cameras on the coasts of North Carolina, Virginia, and New Jersey. The clouds will be visible to the human eye for about 20 minutes. And so if you're seeing something really strange beginning tomorrow and ending April 4th, between tomorrow and April... Sorry, not tomorrow. 14th, when is that?
14th will be Wednesday.
Okay, between Wednesday, March 14th, and April 4th of 2012. Of course, if you're listening to this in the future, then this is... Don't pay any attention to this. They're releasing some sort of chemicals to cause these clouds to appear, and I'm trying to see exactly what they were. This is why I was looking at this story earlier in the first place, is because the chemicals looked to me like it was aluminum something. And I thought, that's not good. Particles, I don't want those things. So if you're living on the
Nothing
East Coast.
Nothing to see here, exactly. Just persistent contrails.
Exactly. And they're not up there, you know, trying to figure out what's going on with the sun. That is just something else. Nothing to see here.
Where was the story I was going to see here? No, not the one about Johnny Depp playing Tonto in the remake of Lone Ranger.
That is just so ate up. Could they not find a Native American to play that role? Yeah. That is an iconic Native American role.
Mm-hmm. And there are some good actor Wes Studi would be a good choice.
Oh, there are some great ones.
Graham
Greene, who actually passed away, didn't he? Graham Greene would have been great, though.
Mm-hmm. Now, Wes Studi played the Phoenix in Mystery Men.
Yes. You have to plan your work and work your plan.
When you can balance a tack hammer atop your head, you can stop your opponents with a balanced attack. Yes. What?
Do you know France is trying to tie the minimum wage that they pay their workers to the GDP?
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, a lot of nations do that. To the GDP, not to the consumer price index.
To the GDP.
Did not know that.
Yep. There are things going on in the world that are just too disturbing to
contemplate. We should mention this, that Greece has effectively defaulted on its sovereign debt.
There's a country called Greece?
Well, it may soon be Greece, sponsored by
the annex of Germany.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Welcome to the Parthenon, sponsored by Coca-Cola.
Yeah, exactly. Or, AIG Insurance Greece or something. Essentially forced compliance on the bondholders of Greek sovereign debt by triggering what's called a how did they put this? There's a word here, and it's one of those bits of double speak that's so good that you don't want to get it wrong. It's some sort of a retroactive collection. Essentially, what they told the bondholders was, you will comply with this deal, or you'll get nothing. One financial analyst said that the bondholders essentially complied voluntarily, in the same sense that confessions to the Spanish Inquisition were voluntary. So bondholders on Greek debt will wind up getting about 53.5% of the value of what they hold, which means that they have effectively defaulted. The interesting thing is that by defaulting, and I don't know how this is going to play out yet, because the Greek deal was reached on Friday. So tomorrow, as the financial markets open, we might see the impact of all of this. Because the International Swaps and Derivatives Association, which is sort of an international referee on events like this, because they voted, yes, this does constitute a default. I mean, the Greeks and the Europeans are calling it a restructuring, but this ISDA is calling it a default. Mm-hmm. That would trigger about $3.2 billion in credit default swaps that would need to be paid out. Now, the question is, who holds those credit default swaps, and how does that affect their financial situations? Don't know. Don't know the answer to that. If there's any good news, is that the $3.2 billion is apparently a lot less than what some analysts thought. So there may not be any insurance companies really hanging by a thread here that may be pushed over
the edge. Well, I'm looking at MarketWatch right now, and as of now, the Dow Jones futures are only down 7 points, and the Japanese market, which is open right now, the Nikkei, is up 0.8%.
Mm-hmm. I need to do more research on credit default swaps, because I only barely understand what those things are about, but I would be curious to know if the $3.2 billion figure is actually is accurate. They're not, as I understand it, not regulated nearly as tightly as most financial instruments out there. I think it's reprehensible that somebody can issue an insurance policy on a financial transaction in which that party has no vested interest.
It used to be that they couldn't.
Yeah.
But apparently there are no rules now.
Yeah, and because it means that the people who hold those policies, just like when, say, in those murder mysteries, when a husband gets knocked off and the wife suddenly gets, $5 million in life insurance, it's like, maybe that's a motive for murder. Well, maybe $3.2 billion worth of payouts and credit default swaps is motive to push Greece into financial purgatory, since there is no purgatory, it'd be right into hell. So the questions that are outstanding are, how does this affect the European economy? Will this trigger any ripples from other companies that go belly up when these credit default swaps start, when they have to be paid? And will Greece leave the Eurozone and go back to the drachma? And what will happen then?
Well, there's been talk about doing that. And, of course, Germany's talking about going back to the mark.
Well, the rumor is that the Germans have been printing marks.
They've been doing that for a couple of years.
Right, just in case they need to go back to it. But the Germans, from what I understand, and believe me, I am not an expert in this, but from what little I've read and heard about this, the Germans are likely to be the last ones standing in the Eurozone.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the ones who tend to profit on it, which is why we're looking at this as Germany's way of reconquering Europe without having to use guns.
Mm-hmm.
and why what may happen for the Greeks to get out of debt. Because apparently with this deal, they've got between guaranteed loans and so forth to aid in this restructuring, they've actually taken on several hundred million dollars.
I like the hand motions, restructuring.
It's when you talk European stuff,
you got to use
the Mediterranean stuff to get the proper emphasis. So anyway, bottom line is, I really don't know how this is going to affect things. All I can what I do know is some of the anecdotal stuff I hear as I go around and talk to 30 or 35 different businesses a week, and that is here in the Midwest, as far as manufacturing and fabrication of equipment goes, most companies are pretty optimistic right now. One of the biggest problems I hear and have been hearing for months is that you can't find enough good people to work. There are companies here in the Midwest that would like to expand and can't because they can't find enough qualified machinists and welders and so forth. But what happens if this triggers financial ripples that spill over onto our shores? Will the banks pull in their horns again? If the banks stop lending money again, how then do companies make any kind of new capital expenditures? Don't know. So we'll have to wait and see. Just giving you a heads up, the Greek default is official. Insurance payouts on these credit default swaps have been triggered. What that means this week to the financial markets and to the real economy is yet to be seen.
And Frankie Valli had it right. Yeah. Greece is the word.
Meanwhile, our secret space plane has been spying. Maybe that'll be able to spot what's going on.
I know.
The X-37B.
It's the Valiant.
Yes. Yeah, if you're a Doctor Who fan, you'll know what we're talking about. We mean you, Dean. The X-37B, which is a secret unmanned space plane, was supposed to stay in orbit for 9 months, and it's now going on a year and about a year and 7 days as of this recording. Circling the Earth at 17,000 miles an hour, was supposed to land in December in California, but it's still up there, and we're not sure why the mission's been extended.
It's not refueling at the sun. Well, maybe it is.
How can? Well, I guess if it's in orbit, it doesn't need to refuel. It's just up there orbiting.
Yeah, just as long as it can maintain the orbit.
Yeah. And since it's unmanned, you don't have to worry about things like food and air.
Well, that's what we're told. There's a dachshund up there spying on us all.
Yeah. This was an interesting story too. Posted about 4 days ago at MSNBC. And when you take a look at where the information came from, it shouldn't come as a surprise that MSNBC is reporting that President Obama's his administration, his election, and the economy, which he, of course, inherited from George W. Bush, have resulted in an explosive growth in militias here in the United States. But, of course, when you read the article and you find the information comes from the Southern Poverty Law Center, no
and it's
surprise.
All the huddery, and, which is like seven guys.
Yeah. According to the story, of course, the story uses pictures, a screenshot from the huddery, which is their website. You remember that was that group of
guys up in Michigan or
yeah,
Wisconsin
like seven people. Yeah. And, one guy said, apparently they were planning to kill one police officer, which is, terrible. And they shouldn't have been allowed to do it. But the people involved there were saying this was just talk. It was loose talk. There were no plans. And it was a pretty lame group. When you look at those folks, you're barely equipped people who were pretending, I think. My guess, I don't know for sure. Maybe they're more dangerous than I recognize. But the Southern Poverty Law Center is a group that that lives on donations, and they get more donations when they scare progressives with the specter of angry white guys out in the woods with automatic weapons.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, there were 149 militias when Obama took office, and over 1,200 today. Now, what defines a militia? 1,200 militia groups.
1,200?
Yeah.
What, a gun club is maybe a militia?
Who knows? I mean, when you think about that, 1,200 militias in 50 United States, what is that? Two would be 100, so 20 per state, 24 militia groups per state?
That's a lot.
That would be a lot. Now, the irony is, as we record this, the gun club that's about a mile and a half south of here has been blasting away all day with something. Nothing automatic as far as we can tell, but some of those are pretty loud. The Southern Poverty Law Center designates a lot of groups as hate groups that I think would barely qualify. They do say the number of hate groups has also risen, and they do include black separatist groups, Christian identity groups, anti-Muslim groups, anti-gay groups, and mm-hmm. that group. But, you know, again, how do they identify militia? How many people do you have to have in a militia to call it a militia? I would think if we had 1,200 militia units that were actually big enough to threaten something, threaten the stability and security of the United States, mm-hmm. you'd probably hear, see, or be, we'd be able to pick up on some of this.
Yeah, because somewhere. There would be, if there were, you know, 20, 24 in each state on average.
Yeah.
There are some states that would probably have more than that.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd notice it.
Well, I'll put a link to the report. You can, you know, read it for your own self to, you know, try to discern what's the truth. But again, the and MSNBC, of course, has a vested interest in, I just downloaded the PDF from the website of the Southern Poverty Law Center, 26 page.
Well, congratulations.
Lots of color graphics. Must be true.
Oh, well, there you go. Every pixel on the internet is true.
True, yeah. So just bear in mind that they can spin the story. I mean, 1,200 groups might mean 1,200 individual guys who individually call themselves 101st Fighting Keyboardists.
Oh, it's hard to say. I mean, I think if you're going to go in that direction, then take a look also at people who fight wars virtually on the internet. Mm-hmm. They're playing role-playing games. And they're getting just as involved in their minds as some of these guys in, you know, these so-called militias mm-hmm. that are actually sitting down and just putting it to paper.
But it's interesting that this meme is coming up again as we get to the peak of the election season.
Sure.
I was listening to a talk radio show out of Chicago, WLS, earlier this week, and they were talking to the local station chief or special agent in charge of the Chicago FBI office mm-hmm. who was talking about these militia groups out there.
But we also have Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, who mm-hmm. has said to his fan base, mm-hmm. to his the Nation of Islam members, that he believes that the president will be assassinated, or at least there will be an attempt made on his life yeah. this year.
Yeah, and we've talked about this meme before, and it seems to be coming back around just
well,
as we
Glenn
head towards
Beck mentioned
the...
it. Apparently, the Nation of Islam got really mad.
Yeah. Mm. And to its credit, by the way, I will mention the Southern Poverty Law Center does list the Nation of Islam as one of the hate groups that it tracks. So, but again, the more hate and militia that they can find out there, the more likely they are to get donations.
We just want to yeah. make it clear that there probably are lots of groups in the United States and right. worldwide that would really fall under the definition of hate group. Mm-hmm. They literally hate another group of people and want to do them harm.
Yeah. And we do not support.
We do not support that.
Militia.
No, we don't believe in doing harm to anybody.
That's right. And it we don't believe that. Regardless of what you think about this administration, that as Christians, we are called to obey. We do believe that we are called to obey the government and the ruling authorities.
Exactly.
Romans 13, and there are other verses we can cite.
Exactly. And to pray for our leaders.
Exactly.
We don't have to agree right. with them, but we are to pray for them. And,
right.
and that is so that we live peaceably.
So that no one confuse where we're coming from here in the criticism that we have of the government, whether we're taking issue with policies of Republicans or Democrats or anyone else in government. We are not advocating an overthrow of the United States government. We're simply pointing out that when these things do not track with what we believe to be good policies, with what we believe to be Christian policies in particular. But again, as Christians, we are called to live peaceable lives mm-hmm. amongst our neighbors, to be good citizens, to obey the ruling authorities.
Well, and the great thing yeah. about this United States of America, supposedly, is that we still have the right to say what we feel and mm-hmm. believe.
Yeah.
That's called free speech.
Yeah. At least for now.
At least for now. Yeah. Well, we'll see. That
things,
Constitution.
Things have been changing.
Well, we probably need to go here because we want to, got to find that Star Trek thing so we can maybe insert it. Once again, if you've gone the entire show and not heard the Star Trek Kang audio clip, then we couldn't find it.
Yeah. Well, we'll search for that.
I'm betting it's on here.
Yeah. We'll track that down and look for an interview on A View from the Bunker. This will be the first one in a month, actually. So
you've been slacking.
Yeah.
No, you've been out of town.
trying to get back to a regular schedule.
But I know.
Carl Tykrib, the author, or rather editor-in-chief of Forcing Change, the online magazine, has got his February issue posted online, and he's got some really disturbing stuff about
Forcingchange.org.
And we'll talk with it. Yeah. And that should be online by tomorrow, which is March 12th.
You're
should
talking
be online
with him
at vftv.net.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
tomorrow night. Yeah,
but it should be posted shortly after the discussion. So watch for that. And until next time, here at PIDradio.com, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear, a better day.